This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. The national elections in November feature seven black candidates running as Democrats or Republicans for Senate or governor. Two are running against each other, but still, we soon may have more African Americans elected to high office than ever before.
To win, though, each candidate knows he will have to accomplish something that has proved difficult for other blacks in the past, winning white votes. NPR's Mike Pesca reports.
In U.S. history, there have been as many Austrian bodybuilding movie stars elected governor as there have been black people. Since direct elections of senators began, only three African Americans have ever gained that post, and it's extremely rare for a black member of Congress to first be elected by a majority white district. While some states are made up mostly of minorities, whites are the largest ethnic group in every state but Hawaii. As a former national head of the NAACP, Maryland's Kwesi Mfume knows and has tried to remedy the long odds for the black candidate trying to appeal to the white voter. Mfume served in Congress from a mostly black part of Baltimore, but last week he was a U.S. Senate hopeful, preparing to wave to the overwhelmingly white crowd at a 4th of July parade. Mfume framed his candidacy as one beyond the barriers of race.
My campaign is a campaign to bring people together, not to tear them apart. It's about our similarities, not our differences. And, you know, I think more than anything else, the recent polls have indicated that a lot of people are looking beyond race.
One state to the north at another 4th of July celebration in Philadelphia, Lynn Swan hoped that Pennsylvanians would also be colorblind in their appraisals of who should be governor.
This should not be about race. Representation has to be across the board. Whether you're Hispanic, whether you're African American, whether you're white, whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative, whether you're pro-life, whether you're pro-choice.
Mfume and Swan are prominent, charismatic black men who share little in common politically except for savvy. Mfume is a liberal Democrat, Swan a conservative Republican, but their statement suggests that in deciding how to pitch their candidacies, both take a lesson from the person perhaps best qualified to offer advice, the only African American ever elected governor, Douglas Wilder.
My thing was I never would allow color to be a badge nor a barrier. And don't vote for me because of color. Don't vote against me because of color.
Wilder's advice for blacks seeking office today is to do it like he did in Virginia, to reach out even to voters who pundits tell you are unreachable, to have a long record in order to rebut charges. African-American candidates are usually painted as liberals regardless of their actual ideologies. Wilder also most strongly advises black candidates to stop talking about race all the time. Here he cites the case of Carl McCall's failed run for the governorship of New York.
When Bill Clinton and others came to campaign for Carl, what did they say? And he would say this, we're running to make history. Now, what has history to do with taxes? And what has history to do with transportation or health or education?
So Wilder says black candidates are damned if they do obsess over their heritage. Now here's the damned if they don't part. The charge that a black candidate is taking his own community for granted. The conventional wisdom says that's why Tom Bradley lost a bid for the governorship of California when he first ran in 1982. But political scientists point out that the more obvious culprit was the 3% of white voters who admitted to pollsters that they didn't want to vote for a black candidate under any circumstances. The margin of victory in that election was less than 1%. A lot has changed in the last quarter century, but consciously or unconsciously, many white voters will not vote for blacks. Not a majority, not a huge amount, but enough to sway a close election. At that parade in Catonsville, Maryland last week, local resident Mark Fields surveyed marching bands and candidates passing by. There was Democrat Mfume, supporters of his white counterpart Ben Cardin, and the black Republican nominee Michael Steele. Fields predicted that race probably would play a role in the upcoming election.
No one says race will affect my vote, but knowing what you know about this state and other voters, do you think race comes into play, even in subtle ways, even in ways voters don't realize when they're voting?
Yeah, I think it will, because they'll think that the NAACP is more prejudiced just to help out their own. But I'm just partial to anyone from the NAACP because they're too far left. So I don't think they're going to be equally biased for everyone.
Fields says he votes straight Republican anyway, and as such, predicts he will be casting his first ever vote for a black candidate for Senate, Michael Steele, who was there working the crowd in a baseball cap that read Reagan. If Maryland's Senate race shapes up to be between two well-qualified black candidates, that would be fascinating, and it would underscore a political truth. Every election is unique. The reasons why Andrew Young failed to get the Democratic nomination for Georgia in 1990 are different from why Harvey Gantt failed to beat Jesse Helms for a North Carolina Senate seat. But failed they, and a legion of black candidates did, and there are some common threads. First of all, there are significant black populations in only 22 of the 50 states, so that narrows the playing field. In the South, which is almost half of those 22 states with sizable black populations, the occasions when a black candidate did get the Democratic nomination saw racial polarization rearing its head, says David Bositis, senior researcher at the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies.
The nominees basically received the black vote. I mean, the black vote in those states is about between 30 and 35% of the total. And when these candidates ran, they got between 30 and 35% of the vote, which means they're not getting any white votes at all.
Maybe the new slate of black candidates will change that, though political insiders give none of those candidates the inside edge. But it's easy to see why the GOP nominated Lynn Swann to run in Pennsylvania. He's not only a candidate, as Ryan Cook noted, he's a former Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I think he'd be good. He seemed like a nice person, and I like the way he played football, and now he so most likely he's a good guy, so he'd do good.
The black candidate, who could have the best chance of winning, is one you've probably heard the least about, Massachusetts gubernatorial candidate Deval Patrick, who's from one of the two states ever to directly elect a black senator. Even if none of the seven black candidates wins, many in the black community are heralding this year as a watershed, one that will open the door for future races. Of course, they've been saying that since 40 years ago, when Edward Burke became the first directly elected black senator, and 17 years ago when Douglas Wilder became the first, and to date only, black governor. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.